Well, it's good to have you home. I'm excited. Made my day. So I'm filling in for him because he's had a long 2 weeks. Anybody in this group went with him? Andrew? Yeah. So you know. And can you imagine what's the temperature down there? 80. And he comes home to snow. We're grateful. So, well, last week we talked about salt and light. And I kept figuring out, how can we make this more practical? I'm a really practical good guy. And I'm going, what does it look like? You know, we talked about you're not becoming salt and you're not becoming light. You are salt and you are light. So in John chapter 8, verse 12, at the tabernacle, the Festival of Tabernacles, Jesus says, I am light. And then in chapter 9, sorry about the mess up, chapter 9, we're going to look at the whole chapter, but don't panic. It's a long chapter, but we're going to take piecemeal it. But I want you to get the story, what he is talking about. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light. In the chapter 8, they are trying to catch Jesus to kill him. And so he's leaving there. He's coming into this town. And in verse 9, chapter 1, or chapter 9, verse 1, it says, he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, back then, if you had some deformity or something, it was because of sin. And so they're seeing this blind man, and we do not know why this blind man was born blind and how they figured this out. We don't know. But the disciples are saying, why? Is it the man's fault or his parents' fault? Notice what he says. Jesus says, there is neither this man nor his parents' sin. Jesus says, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. I want you to hold on to that word display in his life. As long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am light of the world. Having said this, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud, and from the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. It says, go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went, and he washed, and he came home seeing. Let's look at this for a moment. We don't know much. We just kind of get set into the story, and we see that Jesus is saying it wasn't because of his sin or his parents' sin. It's just that God might display his life in him. May I ask you a question? How is God displaying his life in your life? Okay. Now, I have a grocery store background, and back then you'd make big displays of canned beans or whatever, and you had to be really good cutter because it didn't come with plastic wrap, it's all cardboard. This is a long time ago. And you would make, you know, that 24 case cans to a case, and we'd have to tray pack them. But what we learned is that when you make a display, it stood out because we wanted to sell them. You go to the store today and you look around and you see end caps, which are displays. We look down the stores at the windows at night and we can see the displays. Have you ever thought of yourself as being a display of Jesus. Anybody? I didn't think about that. I'll be honest with you. This kind of looked on. I've been thinking about this. I'm going, okay, I'm a display. What am I displaying? Let's look at this man. He was blind. We don't know anything about him other than he was born blind, and how they figured it out, we don't know. We don't know if he came to Jesus asking for his blindness. All we know is that Jesus saw him, made mud out of his spittle, and rubbed it on his eyes, and he said, go. We know that this man is obedient. He went. And he washed, and he came home. I've seen enough documentary stories where people are blind, and when they start seeing light, it's overwhelming. Can you imagine what it would be like if you're not able to see in your whole life? You have no idea what the sun looks like. You have no idea what grass looks like. You have no idea. And he comes and he sees, and I would assume that he was overwhelmed with what he saw. He was flooded with stimuli that he had no context. And I don't think they had sunglasses then. He's probably walking around, going, oh man, I can see, but wow, what am I seeing? And he goes home. Now, this is the funny thing. Listen to what his neighbors are saying. His neighbors and those who were formerly seeing him begging ask, isn't that the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed it was. Other says, nah. He only looks like him. But the man says, I'm him. I'm the beggar. He says, how then were your eyes opened? They demanded. He replied, a man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. Then he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went, I washed, and then I can see. Where is this man? They ask. I don't know, he said. So how was he able to see? This is where you talk back to me. Who opened his eyes? Were you blind before you know Christ? Who opened your eyes? Jesus. When you asked Christ in your life, you really didn't realize that you were in darkness. And when you asked Christ in your life and he changed your life, you were able to see the difference between right and wrong. And the man just says, Jesus. Man, Jesus did this. His neighbors are kind of confused. Would you be kind of confused? Have you ever tried mistaking someone? Have you ever been mistaken? I thought we went to school together, Yvonne. But you're different than when I saw you in high school. She's changed. And now I'm going to ask Yvonne, why, how'd she change? Yeah, found the Lord and we were a part of her baptism. She was changed. Jocelyn was changed. And he points to Jesus. He was a display to his neighbor. And his one-word answer, three-word answer, the man Jesus. Wow, this is kind of shaking the neighborhood. So he said, let's come go with us. And so he took him to the Pharisees. This is the fun part. I love this story. They brought him to the Pharisees, the man was blind, who was blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made mud and opened his eyes was on the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he received the sight. He put mud on my eyes. The man replied, I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. But the others asked, how can a sinner do miraculous signs? And so there was a division between the Pharisees, those who were trying to keep the laws of the church or the Sabbath, and those who were looking at a miracle. Have you heard that saying, you can't see the tree? I get it so mixed up. Can't see the forest for the trees? There's a segment that's looking at the legality of this. And here is Jesus is. He broke man's law. God just said, keep the Sabbath holy. But there's so many rules and regulations on the Sabbath. You couldn't knead bread. If your ox fell in the hole, you can get them out, but you can't do anything else. And now they're looking at him kneading mud, placing it on his eyes. And there was one section of them saying, he can't be of God. Another section said, well, this guy was born blind. It has to be a miracle. But others says, how can a sinner do such a miraculous sign? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It's your eyes. It's about time. He comes back to the person and says, okay, it's your eyes. What do you say? The man replied, he is a prophet. Know the transition? The man named Jesus, he's walking in his sight. He's saying he's a prophet. He's growing in his faith. His eyesight is opening up. He's seeing these things happening. The Jews still did not believe him that he was blind and that he received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Let's go get some more evidence. Let's go get his parents, the ones who were there when he was born. And they brought his parents and said, is this your son? They ask. Is this the one that was born blind? And how is it that he can see? We know he's our son, the parents answered. But we know he was born blind. But how can he see now? Or who opened his eyes? We don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. See, his parents were afraid that if they said Jesus, the word of Jesus, or the name of Jesus, that they would be excommunicated from the synagogue. And his parents says, ask him. He's of his age. It's the second time. The Pharisees are asking him and summons him and said, and the second time they summoned the man and said, who have been blind? Give glory to God, they said. We know that this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I do know, I was blind, but now I see. See, there, what's the basic of his testimony? Jesus. The fact he was blind, and now he sees. And so this is a guy who is on display for his neighbors and for the religious community. This guy he's a beggar. He's dressed as a beggar. And you got to understand, these Pharisees were dressed in all their robes in the factories. They were well dressed. It's sort of like seeing a man in an Armani suit with $400 shoes on or $1,000 shoes on, asking you questions. Just their appearance would intimidate you. And here's this man who is bold beyond his time in the Lord. What do you think of this guy? He's on display. Let's finish this up right quick. Let's start in verse 25. The man said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. The one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And they ask him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? The man answered, I have told you already. You did not listen. Why do you want me to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? He's sharing his testimony. Isn't this cool? Do you want to? How many of us said, when we're questioned like that in our faith, do we want to say, hey, you want to become a believer too? Oh, man. You talk about these guys are raging. I love this story. You need to put life when you read this story. Think about it in your head. Whenever he's standing there with all these professional ministers, and this guy is dressed humbly, and he's saying, tell us more about it. He said, why? You want to be his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fella, we don't even know where he comes from. Now, they're not the same age as Moses. They're reading from Torah. They have no firsthand experience that God spoke to Moses. They're reading it out of scrolls, right? They're assuming the scrolls are right. And here's Jesus, the Son of the living God, who just opened a man's eyes, who's been born blind, and they're refusing to see. And they hurled insults at him and said, you are this man's disciple. And the man answered, listen to the boldness in this man's answer. Verse 30. The man answered. Now it's remarkable that you do not know where he came from. Yet, he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. Where did he get that from? He's saying God doesn't listen to sinners. And here this guy opened my eyes. The Pharisees are saying this is a sinner. He says, well, I don't know. But God used him to open my eyes. And this is in verse 31. We know he doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to the godly men who does his will. Notice, Jesus the man, the prophet, and the man who walks in obedience to God. See the transition that's happening in this man's life? They then hurled insults and said, Are these fellows disciples? We are disciples. Oh, never mind. Let's go back down. Thank you. 31. We know that he doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to godly men who does his will. Nobody has ever opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Wow. Transition. Let me ask you a question. When you came to know Christ, Have you experienced transition from, yeah, I accepted Jesus Christ. Yeah, I believe in him. I pray for him. Yes, he is my Savior. Yes, I'm making him Lord. Does this make sense to you? What I'm finding is when, and what I did in my own life, when I came out of darkness into light, I stayed too close to the door that I exited into life. You know, Jesus says, I am the door. I opened that door, and I went through the door. I'm born, but I found myself staying really close to the door. Have you ever stood close to a door? What happens when you stand close to a door and there's people talking the other side? You're hearing them. And that's pulling, it's making a pull back to your heart. And I once started learning that I need to get away from that door. And I'm moving from the initial salvation to Savior, to Lord. The further I got away from that door, the more I walked in faith. This guy is making a transition. Here's an interesting fact I found out on Monday. 98% of the congregants of churches will never lead somebody to the Lord. They will never share their faith. 98%. Think about that. Why? Why would we keep the good news to ourselves? Here's this guy on display for Jesus. And the statistics say to us today in the 21st century that 98% of people who go to church will never share their faith. Wow. All denominations. That's a struggle for me. Because guys, if you don't share your faith, in 25 years, there'll be 5 people right here in this church and no more. They'll become the graying of churches. Got to look back and you say, okay, well, what if I got to have my testimony? What was the testimony of this man? Help me out here. Yeah. You know, sure. Can you say your testimony in 3 minutes or less? The life I led before I was a Christian, how I came to know Christ, and the life I now live now. Can you say that in 3 minutes? Because that's all you're going to have. Would you be willing to do that this week? Notice what happens now. He's boldness. His life has been totally changed. To this they reply, you are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. See, we're afraid we're going to get thrown out. We're afraid we're going to get thrown out, are we not? But look at the next verse. Jesus heard that they threw him out. And when he found him, says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is it, sir? The man asked. Tell me so I can believe in him. And Jesus says, you are now seeing him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you, with you now. And the man said, Lord, I believed, and worshiped him. Jesus said, "For the judgment I have come into the world, for judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind may see, and those who see will become blind." The Pharisees who were with him heard him say that, and says, "What? Are we blind? Are you saying we're blind, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. For now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains." What they were doing is they were taking an act of God, of this blind person coming to know Christ, and attributing it to not to God. And they become blind to what Jesus was saying, blind to everything spiritual. Today we have a lot of blindness. My brothers and sisters, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have an obligation to tell. You have an obligation not to sit on the good news. Remember when you were totally blind. I was drinking. I was running around wanting to be very, very wealthy. It got me. This word got me. Okay. And I did not want to follow Jesus. Had no desire to follow him. I didn't care. A friend of mine from college said, "Come to church." 98% of people who come to know Jesus Christ come with you when you come to church. If they're invited, they come. I went Easter 1976, and I was saved that day. If I would have known now, I don't know if I'd done it. Because God takes you. And he stretches you. He gives you life more abundantly. He fills you with joy. And he says, "You'll follow me and you'll be obedient. I will change your life from blindness to life." Isn't that not good news? That's your story. I challenge you. Write down your testimony. Practice it with each other, husband and wife. Tell them about your story and practice it. And say, "God, if you'll open the door this week, I want to be that 2% that shares my faith." I dare you. I should double dog dare you, but I shouldn't, but I won't. Okay? Write down a list of your friends that you do not know. And those who do not know Christ, we don't know whether they know Christ, or yes, they are. If they are Christians, then ask them, "Who are you discipling?" If they're not Christians, pray for them. What would happen as a couple and some friends that you have, and you go, "We're praying for this guy," and 6 weeks later he comes to know Christ? What do you think would happen to the dynamics of this church? What would happen to your life? Now, when they come to know Christ, now you're obligated. You're obligated to now disciple them. Well, that scares me to death. What's your testimony? Well, God will be right there with you, and you just open the book of Genesis or John or whatever and say, "Let me walk through this." Neil Cole, I'll close with this one illustration. He has an encounter group, and he had a lost person come as a group. It's 4 or 5 men. They consume a lot of scripture. Like, they'd read the book of John, the whole book, 3 times in 1 month, 1 week. And they would get together. And so they had a guy, his friend brought him. He was just as lost. had no idea what he was going on, never had a Bible. They gave him the book of John, and he said, read it. So the guy reads it. He comes to the group, and he says, you know, I think this Jesus is crazy. That's what he said. Really? Well, I tell you what, read it again. He reads it again. He comes back to the group, and he says, you know, I think Jesus thinks he's the Son of God. Really? Okay. Read it again. He comes back a third time, and he says, Jesus is the Son of God. And I want him in my life. What does that say to you about God? He wants everyone to know him. And he will let people around you bring them into the kingdom of God. And you as a Christian will see new birth. All you have is your testimony. These Pharisees and all the robes could not argue with the man's testimony. And so they attacked his character. Who do you think you are? My brothers and sisters, your story is valuable. Don't lose it. Write it down. Practice it. Share it. And see what God does with it. He called you for his purpose to put you on display. Here's my son. Here's my daughter. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you put stories in the Bible that are true. And then we have to ask ourselves, wow, this man was bold. Well, because he met Jesus. That's all he knew. It wasn't theological. They didn't ask him any questions. They just asked him what happened, and he told them 3 or 4 times. And they became blind. And those who heard started seeing. Father, you have put people around us that you want in your kingdom. And you placed us on display in front of them. May we see the fruit of the gift that you gave to us, shared in the coming weeks and months. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.